That's a good prayer. You got to hold to God's unchanging hand. You know, I could easily, after listening to Pastor Tony, I can say, be able to close the selection. It's good. It's all good. Testimony is all good. I hope if I bring something that Pastor Michael said last week, I hope he don't mind, but if he's mind, don't worry. If it comes up, I'm going to bring it up anyway. It's all good. You know, we say in the song, how great is our God? How great is our God? You know, I thought about it, and the Lord has been bringing that name to me, God's Miracle Church. If God wants to keep, if this is God's Miracle Church, if he wants to keep his name upon this church, we got to act like it. We can't go around doing what we want to do, feeling like we want to do, and it's not of God. You can't bring stuff in here that's not of God. We want to keep God's Miracle Church name strong. You know, I spoke today, I want to speak today, and the topic that I use is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the start off to let you know that God's up here first. And when I say that, the revelation is a term used to the process by which God reveals knowledge of himself, his will, and his divine providence to the world of human beings. In secondary usage, revelation refers to the resulting human knowledge and about God, prophecy, and other divine things. There is a need today for us to protest. I know it's Martin Luther King's around the celebration time. But the protest that I'm speaking of as we move along is the protest where the evil one is holding us hostage, where we are living with spiritual handcuffs on and chains wrapped around our lives. Some of it is due to our sins. Others around our lives. Some of it is due to our sins. Others of it is due to your own circumstances. All we know is we have been overcome by the oppressive nature of what we are dealing with. But I would like to do a little bit of shift in the name of a song, We Shall Overcome. I'm going to change it today. If all possible and God's willing, we have overcome. Because it says in John, 1 John 5, chapter 5, verse 5, it says, anyone who has believed in Christ has overcome. That's what it says. But that ought to change, create some curiosity, because if you look with me in Revelations, written by the Apostle John, chapter 2, verse 7, we read, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to him who overcomes. Verse 11 says, he who has an ear to hear, what the Spirit says to the churches, he who overcomes. In verse 17, it says, he who has an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to him who overcomes. Go on one more. Verse 26, it says, he who overcomes. Chapter 3, verse 5 says, he who overcomes. Chapter 3, verse 12 says, he who overcomes. So wait a minute. John, didn't you tell me in 1 John 5, you said that we have overcome? Amen. But then again, he writes to us. He wrote the book of Revelation, and it says, he who overcomes. So on one hand, I have overcome. And on the other hand, I need to overcome. So how do I put this together? And what does it mean? John is writing to the seven churches of Asia Minor. And we will see in a moment, seven is the church, is the church of completion. It's a number of completions. So this is a message to all churches for all times. He is talking to the whole congregation. He says, I want to tell you this. I want to tell the whole congregation. But in each one of those scriptures that I read you, you said, he who overcomes. Meaning, it's possible to be in church and in the congregation and not one to be an overcomer. Because he says, he who? He talks to everybody. And then he comes down to the individual saying, let me talk to you. He who? So forget the folks around you, because whether it's up to you whether you decide to overcome or not, be overcome or not. Your neighbor can't overcome for you. But he tells the whole congregation, everybody who has come to Christ has overcome. That's what he said. The Greek word for overcome is nikito, a word that means to prevail, to win one's cause, or to victoriously in different and difficult circumstances. So it says to do with being victorious in the midst of or over or in or through whatever the circumstances that are illegitimately holding you hostage. So right now, if you have something that you should not be holding, that should not be holding you hostage, but that is holding you hostage, then you need to be an overcomer, because that's what the word means. But why do you tell me, John, in 1 John 5:5, that I have overcome? And then you turn around, John, and come back in Revelation and tell me, well, you need to overcome. Well, we all know it's possible to be married and not be happy. In the church, say amen. In other words, you can have a legal status that's not equal to your present experience. The paper may declare you to be something, but your experience says something else. When John says you have overcome, he is dealing with your legal status. When we come to Jesus Christ and accept him as our Lord and Savior, he says we have overcome. That's your legal status. Christ says he made everybody an overcomer, legally. But what you have legally does not mean that's what you are experiencing personally. If you are defeated and a Christian, that doesn't make you un-Christian. That just makes you a defeated Christian. So what is he trying to say to you? He tells us it is the goal is to make our legal status our experiential reality. So that's why the word is you have overcome spiritually, legally, because you come to Christ. But you may not yet have overcome in terms of it working out in your life, in terms of you experiencing it, In fact, the only reason you need to overcome is there's something to overcome. To overcome means to overrule a sin or a set of circumstances that is illegitimate. It is to overrule them. In fact, let's go a little bit deeper. One of the reasons why God allows things that he does not approve of is to give you the experience of being an overcomer. We never know how great God is until we are involved in something, experiencing something, and we know we had no other way out. But God has a way of bringing us through. Now, this may throw you a little bit. God does not sin. God does not endorse sin. But God allows things throughout Scripture that he does not approve of in order to demonstrate his greater glory. Now, if we intentionally do things that will bring consequences, and those consequences can be daunting. The Bible makes it clear, if you are going to be an overcomer, a prevailer, that the link has to be made between your state and your standing, between your position, your practice, between your legal and what is experienced, literal. It's the difference between the Emancipation Proclamation and Juneteenth. There's a year. There's a year where, wait a minute, excuse me a minute. I can't see anything. Everything is blurry. Excuse me, 1 second. Hallelujah. God is good and worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Where did I leave off? Juneteenth? What did I say about it? Oh, it is the difference between the Emancipation Proclamation and Juneteenth. Yes. With Juneteenth was a year. There was a year and a half gap before the folks in Texas found out that they were free from the Emancipation Proclamation. So even though they were free legally, they weren't literally free because the information was not gathered and gained. So Juneteenth is celebrated as a reminder of what was legal that became literal. The tragedy of Juneteenth is that many folks still stayed slaves after they found out that they were free because they had been enslaved so long. And there were those who just didn't want to be free, just rather stay where they were. And they weren't afraid to exercise. They're so used to being in sin, they didn't want to exercise their freedom. Because you can be used to being a slave to sin, circumstances, to people, to problems. For he never gets to talking about being an overcomer in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Revelation. He gives us chapter 1. he says, he begins in chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. Verse 1 saying, the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, I'm going to disclose Jesus to you. He says in verse 4, I'm writing to the churches. He takes to take this look at Jesus in verse 7. It says, behold, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it shall be. Amen. And watch this. Jesus is talking in verse 8. He says, I am the Alpha and Omega, who is and who was and who was and who is to come. I'm the Almighty. He tells John in verse 11, he told John to write a book. John says in verse 12, I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. Jesus speaking to him, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like the Son of Man, clothed and robed, reaching to his feet, girded across his chest with a golden sash. Verse 14 tells us, his head and his hair was white like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. Verse 15 tells us, his feet were like burnished bronze when it had made a glow in the furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. Verse 16 tells us, in his right hand he had seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in the strength. Verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. If you and I are going to be overcomers in practice, not in principle, we're going to have to see the Jesus that John saw. This is not a Jesus, somebody said it this morning, all meek and mild. This is not Jesus in a manger. This is Jesus on fire. He says, like the burning of a furnace. He says, when he spoke, it was like the rushing of many waters, like oceans, like seas, just thundering. And he says, when I saw this Jesus, it knocked a brother off his feet. I fell down like a dead man. See, we have this mind, like somebody said it, we have a mammy-pammy Jesus. And that's not a true overcoming Jesus, because we really don't understand who Jesus is since his resurrection and ascension. See, when John is writing, Jesus has already died, already rose again, and was gone up to be in heaven. And when he sees this Jesus, who now is up in heaven, this Jesus, who is in charge, this Jesus is controlling the agenda. This is not a feel-good Jesus. This is not a Jesus who's just going along to get along. This is the Jesus that knocks you off your feet. And if you are not relating to that Jesus, you are not relating to the overcoming Jesus. You're just relating to the Jesus that you know, you read about, you feel about, you feel good about. He did miracles, and it was such a nice guy. Remember, he went and raised someone from the grave. He was late, but he was a good guy. He did it anyway. He died for our sins. Oh, that's good. No. It's a little bit more than that. Let me show you what I mean. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, it says, that when Jesus died, he disarmed the rulers of this present age. disarm them. So the reason why the devil can't defeat us is because he can deceive us into thinking, but we know for a doubt there are no bullets in the gun. But what Jesus did on the cross, the scripture said, he disarmed them. He took away their authority. So now we are beaten by deception that feels like reality, looks like reality, seems like reality. That's why the scripture says in Romans 8 and 37, it says, but in all these things, we are overwhelmingly conquered through him who loved us and gave his life for us. That's why John 3, 16:33 says, these things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulations, but take courage, I have overcome the world. He speaks in these superlatives because it is your connecting with the risen Christ. Romans 5, 8, after he says, God demonstrated his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Verse 8, he comes in verse 8. He comes to verse 10 and says, and we are saved or delivered by his life. So the overcoming comes with life. How many of you have AAA? Y'all, anybody have AAA? You have AAA. AAA is good when you need it. Sometimes you're in an area you need AAA, and I have certain times people say, well, it takes too long. But I'd like to say something else to you. AAA is good if you need it. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you don't have AAA. You have GGG. You have God, God the Father, God the Son. God, God, God. That's good. You have GGG. And what he wants you to know is when you begin to look at him differently and relate to him as a risen Christ who has ascended, who's now functioning with fire in his eyes, not soft skin, but hair like wool and a voice like thunder, that who you're dealing with, and that's who you must relate to. You say, but my problem is so big and it's been there so long. On the cross, Jesus Christ lifted the sins of the whole world for all men, for all time, on Calvary. So, tell me again the size of your problem. You're dealing with somebody who handled the world and its sins and its accompanying circumstances. So, it may be bad, but it ain't that bad. So, that raises a question. Where can I find this power? Okay, because if it's all that in a bag of chips, I want some of that. Look at chapter 12 of Revelation, verse 11. It says, and they overcame him here. He hears our word. Because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. That one verse will shift how you relate to Jesus. When you shift how you relate to Jesus, he shifts how he relates to you. Because now you are relating to him as he is, not ask what you want him to be. Because a lot of folk come to church worshiping Jesus, and they want him to be Well, not as he declares himself to be. It isn't terrible when somebody's talking for you, trying to describe you to you, when you know you. So Jesus says, let me explain this to you. It says, they overcame him, referring to Satan in this context. They overruled him. They prevailed against him. When three things were put in place, these three things can be summed up in one word, the identification with Christ. Now, follow me a little bit closer here. With Christ, they prevail. Mm-hmm. Let me say this as I get into this. God places victory in your reach, not in your hand. Big difference. Overcoming is in your reach. You can get it, but it's not in your hands. See, for many people, the cross is a historical event. 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross. And I believe he died for his sins, for my sins. I accepted him as my Savior, and because of that, I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven. And all that's true. But these folks are overcoming him by the blood in the present tense, in this text here. They are not overcoming because the blood worked 2,000 years ago. That's why when Paul describes us his identity in Galatians 2 and 20, he says, he said, I am right now crucified, and it's no longer I who live, but the Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave his life, gave himself for me. He says, I want you to look at my life now. I am controlled by the cross. That is, I'm controlled by the work of Jesus Christ, what he did 2,000 years ago, that affects my decision making in the present. He says, secondly, they overcame him by the word of their testimony. Okay, now watch this. You will now overcome whatever you need to overcome. If you are a secret agent, Christian, let me get that straight. If you are an undecided voter, you are not going to be an overcomer. If you are a spiritual CIA representative, if you are a convert operative, forget overcoming. Because Jesus Christ, with fire in his eyes, is not trying to help folk to overcome who are embarrassed to be associated with him. He says, you deny me before men, and I will deny you before the Father. Matthew 10 says, you confess me before men, and I will confess you before my Father. If you don't want to be associated with me in public, you just want this private meeting with me, with the saints on Sundays, but you don't want other folk to know that you're a follower of Jesus Christ, which was the point of your baptism when you went public and says, I am publicly proclaiming my identification with Jesus Christ. Don't be calling on me for overcoming in your life when you don't want to associate with me in person. The word of their testimony. That's why I like Pastor Amonfit, what he did. He came out here. I don't know if it was recorded or not. He gave his situation after his message. He gave the situation what Lord did for him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You came to that church visiting, but you didn't know why you came. You just came. You didn't want to stay there. And he said the power is something. The word must have went by in a song or something, but he said it didn't come from the preacher. The Holy Spirit was so heavy that it knocked him from whatever he was involved with. It knocked him to his feet.
Amen. Amen.
He'd never been the same since that day.
Come on, come on.
if you don't want to be associated with me in public, you just want to be a private meeting with the saints on Sundays, don't look for me to do anything for you.
Jesus.
See, trying to camouflage it by talking about, I believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
That won't cut it.
Amen. Come on,
using God's name won't cut it. God has placed everything in the hands of his son. At the name of Jesus, every knee may come by. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. He was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was on his shoulders. By his stripes, you were healed. Now you are healed. And you can't identify with a risen Christ? He said, it's by the word of your testimony. He wasn't wrong when he said, going back to you, I'm talking about you, today is your day, that we are going to be pressured in some situations and circumstances are going to come up, which they will. But he exercises your faith, your standards, and he has a place that he wants you to be. So things are going to come up in your life that you is just going to make you strong. But see, you be being tested all the time. Are you going to make it through? Remember when you first came to Christ, and when you first gave your life to Christ, and man, you could pray, and bam, it happens. And then as you go along further and further, stuff stop happening as fast. But it happens. Things will get larger. So, well, this is too big. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. And finally, once you get a grip of yourself, it happens. Things don't happen bang, bang, bang like they did when you first gave your life to Christ. But because he has a place for you, he has a work for you to do, and he got to build you up in him. Okay, this is a big thing. Now, how strong is your faith? How great is our God. But he said, it's by the word of your testimony. But then he throws one at you. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. Wow. They overcame him because of the love relationship that they possessed with him that transcended dying. Now, that is some serious love when it transcends dying. That is why Paul says in Luke 9, he says, I die daily. Every day when I get up in the morning, I say, I am dead to me. I'm alive to you. You are my life. You are not just a place that I go to on Sundays. You are my defining definition. You are my life. When we come in here, God's Miracle Church with God's name on the top, he says, we come in here to worship. We come in here to praise. He said, I have a seat for you. I have a place for you to do. I have a work for you to do. And we're going to build you up to strong enough to get that place where he has for you. And you're going to be there and able to do it. But don't think it's going to stop there. Like he said, if God called you to, I don't know who ever wanted to be a preacher. I didn't. Matter of fact, I wore a couple of pair of tennis shoes out running. But he stopped me, got my attention. Got my attention, good. If any man will be my disciples, he must decide and deny himself. Take up the cross and follow me. There is this understanding that I am pursuing a relationship with somebody that I want to fall in love with, more than myself. See, I had to apologize for Linda. I said, Linda, I love you, baby, but I got to love God first. More, I should say. And I hope she feels the same way. I know she feels the same way. In other words, this is some serious commitment. But you probably got some serious stuff to overcome. So this is not a casual Christianity here. It gets uncomfortable sometimes here. Sometimes it gets so that you just, why am I here? But if you're seeking Jesus Christ and he is first in your life, nothing's going to drive you away from him. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen. Now, you don't go looking for death. You don't go wishing for death. It says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul says, I don't know whether to stay here or go home to be with Christ. He said, I'm betwixt and between, and in between. He says, if I stay here, see, I'm going to serve Christ. If I die, I'm going to be with Christ. And if I suffer, he says, I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not being worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed unto me. So he is saying, basically, I'm in a no-lose situation. Living, dying, is all Christ. So if I got to be rejected because of Christ, I have got to be dejected because I'm not liked by people, because Christ, not because of not being foolishness, but because of Christ. He said, I don't care what they say about me. I don't care how much they talk about me. I don't care how much they even use profanity against me. I don't care what to do. It's if I'm not giving up Christ. And you may think it's foolishness, but I'm not giving up Christ, no matter what they say. If we get into our minds that people can't save you, if you can get into your mind, people can't heal you. What do you do? You know, this world is getting to a part where you don't have enough doctors, you don't have enough nurses, the hospitals are crowded, and we have to go out to other, you know, the first time I ever had to be outsourced to somebody else for my medical attention. Outsourced. And now it's around for the appointment to come up again. Whether they're going to outsource it or not, I don't know. But see, as time goes on, we said we're living in the last days, we know that. We said Jesus is coming back again, we always know that. You know, they keep saying, but he's coming. Amen. Well, you see it in your lifetime or not. And he's coming. Yeah, he's coming. We have to get to a place, no matter what. If he doesn't heal my eyesight, I'm still going to praise him. If he doesn't take care of other issues that I have, that could be detrimental to me going and coming, I'm still going to serve him. I don't understand. He mentioned young people, but Pastor Tony mentioned old people that's been in church the whole life. Listening to the word, I don't know how, you know, when you listen to the word, I'm getting old now. You're listening to the word and heard the word, read the words, people praying, God has done so much for you. What make it so fascinating, ridiculous, they get to a point in life that they hadn't changed. They're getting older, they're trying to do what they did when they were younger. They know better than that. I mean, your body will tell you, don't be foolish. My mind can tell me to go do some stuff. My body says, you try it if you want to. You ain't going to get far. I just don't understand. The biggest thing that the Lord had instilled in my heart, he says, look back at what I did for you. All those things, you could have been dead so many different times. You could have been lost so many different times. You could have been defeated so many different times. Why in my right mind would I want to go back and deny Christ? go back to the well. To the well what?
Jesus.
What am I going to do? Like Paul says, he's saying basically, I'm in a no-lose situation. See, once you now identified yourself with Christ and you have positioned yourself to be a overcomer, you have positioned yourself to see the move of God overruled in your life and circumstances of life, you must now be a shift in perspective. You must change your look. You must look at Jesus differently now as your sovereign, on fire God, now who rules. Has something. I didn't quite write it, but it may help you a little bit. Because last time I made this comment, that was years ago, certain people got a little upset when I told them about boxing. Nothing wrong with it. If you enjoy it, fine. Any of you who like wrestling? You like it? Like wrestling? All right. Let me explain something to you. It's fake. If you like pro wrestling, it's fake. Linda had an uncle. Lived next door. Man, he wouldn't miss wrestling for nothing. And I was over there watching it with him. Rick, why don't you go? Let me take you to the restaurant. I said, Uncle James, this stuff not real. Let me take you to the match. So I went with him. We got a front row. I was sitting on the front right by the ring. This guy beat up. He was in the corner of the ropes, all beat up. And all of a sudden, somebody came out of from the doorway, came out, jumped in the ring, got him off the guy, flipped him over, he threw him off the ring, he fell right down in front of me. Face was about that far from the floor. It didn't hit. He was supposed to hit the floor. But, you know, it would have knocked some stuff out of him. Now, how in the world could all this punishment, can't nobody take all this punishment and come out all right? And then his son, at that time, was working as he was a driver for one of the Marriott, I think, on Williamsburg Road. And he said, man, he said, those matches, that's what the hotel that they stayed in, he said they'd be in a bar room, drinking, hugging each other. They're just enemies, just finished knocking each other out. That's not real. It's fake. All of it has been pre-scripted. They have already decided who the winner's going to be. That has been pre-decided, predestined, predetermined, and elected, because you have so many champions and so many times that somebody else come in to beat him. That's all been decided. Before the match even starts, you're looking at the match and you see the other wrestlers coming out on the right side and in the very nick of time to jump in the match and all that's scripted. It's entertainment. That's all it is. They even pay you if you bleed. If you bleed, I understand that they pay you. A little extra. You probably need it for the doctor. They pay you a little more because you have made it look so real. So everything has been prescripted, the whole thing. But even if you are being defeated, even if you are being thrown down, even if you are being abused, if it's already been predestined, that's when this thing is over. You are going to be more than conquerors. Amen. This thing is being, God has already prescripted everything for us. We're going to be in heaven with him. We're going to be healed by him. All the things that's just already been put in the book. God has already predestined everything that we're going to suffer. Yeah, remember, I think the first Sunday, I said he goes to, we start at the beginning of a story and then go to the end. God starts at the end. Then he comes back and says, now I want you to live what I already prescripted for you. Everything has been prescripted. God is King of kings, Lord of lords. He says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of his testimony. I hope you have ears to hear what the Lord is saying to us today. Don't be foolish. Everything, I don't care how hard it is. I said, I've been sick for a long time. I've been praying. I don't care. If I'm sick, I'm still going to be for God. If he doesn't come to deliver me, I'm going to die, and I'm going to be with him. Either way, it's God, God, God. That's just the way it is, saints. That's just the way it is. Our lives, we are no more, I'm giving out all our lives. We should give it over to Christ. We are no longer in control. He has already prescripted that greater is that in you than he that is in the world. He has already prescripted that those folk don't control you anymore. He has already prescripted circumstances doesn't control you anymore. I know you're being thrown down because he said he knocked him to his feet. He had to come as the eyes of fire to get rid of what was holding him down. But once he did that, he stood tall, and he's been testifying by the word of his testimony, been testifying that same message ever since. God has already prescribed circumstances, doesn't control you anymore. I know you're being thrown down. I know you're being beaten up. But you can now look at it as and declare, I am an overcomer. I've come back at you. In the same name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, we have overcome. That's why they said, we shall overcome. Forget about that. That's good for them when they were marching. But God says, we have overcome. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, right now in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, we just give your name all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. I thank you, Lord, for whatever Satan did to try to stop this message from getting through. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that I'm an overcomer. I thank you, Father, and I thank you for having ears to hear what you have thus said to us today. Lord, I just thank you. We just continue to put you in our lives. You are first, our first love. You are the one we love more than anything else, Lord. You can't love anything else. If we put your love in you first, we have made it. We've been predestined for glory. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. Hallelujah.